Welcome, BBS callers. And we have Wynn here for our Monday night call.
Wow. Do we have Terry here yet?
No, I haven't seen her yet. Hello?
She was...
Oh, is that you, Terry?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
This is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger.
I
heard Raiden on the line. Are you there, Raiden?
Yes, positive greetings, Wynn.
Now, don't say it to me. Say it to the group.
Well, I say it to everyone. Positive greetings.
We get it vicariously.
Yeah, right.
He's a vicarious greeter.
That's right.
Hello, everyone.
Among other enigmas.
Well, it's better to be an enigma than an enema.
Good Lord.
Oh, God. Unless you're a colonic therapist.
Oh.
Which I'm not. And it was supposed to be good for you. Well, they are, yeah. Yeah, hang on. I am going to mute everybody. This is... Oh, wait, we're not set the date yet. None.
And start the recording.
Thank you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is June 20th, 2016. And we are going to do an open mic tonight. And, of course, anything can happen on these calls at any time. But open mic, this is where you guys have to say something. So I'm just going to mute here. Now.
All callers are unmuted.
I can provoke you.
Today's
I can provoke you. Is your birthday today?
Yeah. Can I get a chorus? the slow dirge you guys sing?
No, you get the dirge, the birthday dirge.
Happy the birthday dirge.
Ready, set, happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday
to you,
buddy.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, that's great.
It's a little quicker than Terry.
Yeah. Live long and prosper.
Is anyone else having a birthday this coming week or last week? Now, you see, this is where the guys listening on the internet can't really, they miss out. They miss out on these silly conversations we have. What did you guys think of Virginia Lloyd yesterday?
Good.
Right. Spot on.
I liked her poem.
Yeah. You know, she is a real warrior, okay?
Yeah.
And you guys don't know. I don't know if did any of you ever hear of the Sedona Method?
Yes.
Yep.
I took a thing called the release technique, which is also a spinoff of Lester Levinson's teachings.
Right. Well, did you know she was Lester Levinson's chief trainer and partner and was responsible for the starting of the Sedona technique?
No.
I didn't... Yeah. Well, she was. And basically, if it wasn't for her, she was kind of like the... As I tune into it, she helped keep Lester Levinson focused to get it all going. And Terry, how many of you know who David Hawkins is?
Yes.
Yes. she is the one that put David Hawkins through that. And Terry knows what happened. What happened, Terry, with David Hawkins? Terry, are you there?
Yeah, he was the head of a large hospital in New York City, and he said to himself, all these people are looking to me to be cured, and I have 12 different diseases, and I can't cure myself, so I shouldn't be head of the hospital because I don't know what to do for myself. So he quit, and he came to Sedona and did the Sedona method, and Virginia worked with him and was his teacher, and he got cured of all his diseases, except he didn't think eyesight was a disease, and so he didn't address it. And after somebody pointed that out, he addressed that, and then he got his eyesight back to 20/20. So she was responsible for training him, and then he went on to write a number of books like Power versus Force. He was giving seminars. Pardon?
Amazing book. Great book.
Yeah. He was an amazing person. He was giving seminars in Mexico, and I attended a seminar in about 1986. And Pat Flanagan and one other fellow were talking about how great Sedona was. One of them said, I should move here. And after the Rodney King riots in L.A., I really should move over there. And so I did.
Okay.
So when... Are you there, Wynn?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is an open mic, so I'm not gonna talk too much.
I heard something sort of interesting. There's a guy named Raymond Grace. He's a dowser. He's been at Coast to Coast a few times. And apparently he's trying to start this project to get as many people as possible to sort of, kind of like our group here, perform a big group. And the idea is to use intention and mental power. We're going to try to get rid of pollution in the world by, they say, you know, by concentrating the pollution, you can break it down into its elemental atomic structure or whatever, and then goes back into the earth. So he's trying to start a project to get rid of pollution.
Now, there are some people that swear that there's this thing called organite that gets rid of chemtrails. And I'd have to try it to believe it. But there's a guy that comes into our calls, and someday we'll let him talk about it, because he is like another kind of, how would you say it, spiritual warrior. He drives around on his bicycle, and he puts this organite all over L.A. So, and there's other people that do this all over the country.
Like the holy hand grenade thing where you make this little device. I heard you cast an epoxy, like a copper wire and metal shavings.
Epoxy. That's organite.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
It's based on the Gorgon energy idea from Reich.
Right, right.
Okay.
And they use, they make them really big, with big copper tubes, I believe, going up towards the sky.
Okay.
And they're small ones. You can go look it up. I'm not endorsing it, because I actually bought some. And
go to ctbusters.com.
Yeah.
And a lot of things, I think my hologram is above certain things, so I don't feel them. sometimes I'll get into the zone where I do, but I haven't experienced it personally. There were people next to us at a show a year ago that were selling Morgan Aid, and they totally believed it. People who believe it really believe it, you know? So I'll tell you, now, I always get in trouble when I say things like this, but, you know, tracking things on YouTube, if you say certain things, for example, I had said in an email about a week ago or 10 days ago about vaccines being dangerous. There are so many things that if you look it up, you'll find rather substantial evidence. Everything from 911 being an inside job, there are so many things. And it's amazing to me, I have to say, the level of, excuse me if I'm upsetting anybody, if they think that it was really how it appeared in the news. So let me just say, I'm not saying this is true, but there's so much evidence, hard evidence, that indicates it's true. So you owe it yourself to look at the evidence and try to explain it away. Everything from firemen on YouTube who heard multiple explosions to the big question is how do buildings drop at the speed of free fall? You know what free fall is? That means if you drop an apple from the top of the Empire State Building, it's moving at free fall. There's no impediments to it, other than air pressure. And so that's what free fall is. Well, the buildings in 9/11 collapsed at the same speed of free fall. And how could one floor drop into the next, and it not slow it down? I mean, that's just one thing. There's loads of things. There's no pictures of a plane hitting the Pentagon. Somebody's making a lot of noise there. Who's that? So, and then, you know, if you go beyond that, you go to all of these mass shooting incidents. Almost every single one has huge...
FBI contact.
What is that?
FBI contact.
Is that a website?
No.
No, the
FBI.
The Orlando guy was connected to the CIA and the FBI, and he worked for private security.
And then there were people that were in that room that said there were multiple shooters, and somebody was holding the door shut, okay? Every single one, from Sandy Hook to Orlando to the Boston bombing to the Colorado shooting, all of them had huge mitigating things in it. And there's one phenomena that the negative, the cabal, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, have, and that is they actually like to say in advance what's going to happen. And it comes out on TV shows. There was a TV... forget which show it was, The Simpsons maybe or something, where they showed Robin Williams hanging himself in that show before it happened.
That's Family Guy.
What was it?
Family Guy, I believe.
Family Guy, yeah.
Animated show.
And then in Colorado, in Aurora, where the... there was that shooting. The movie playing was Batman, okay? And in that movie, there were two really unusual things. One of them was there was a building in Gotham City called Aurora, okay? And there was a map in that movie where a guy put his finger on the map and it was pointing to Sandy Hook. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what is the possibility that that was random, you know? I don't think so. And so they broadcast stuff in advance. And you can look, you guys can look this up, because if you start looking, I think one of the reasons people are so blindsided to all of this is they just don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it, quite frankly. I don't want to believe it because, man, it's like everything up is down. Everything we have been put our confidence in for years, it doesn't make sense anymore when you can think of the potential that these things are happening. So it's like people just close their minds off. And when they get evidence of anything that seems to point to this level of, shall we call it, conspiracy at a high level?
Cognitive dissonance. It's a psychological effect.
Yeah. So they just blank it out. And if you try to tell it to them, they get mad at you. Mm-hmm. So I hope nobody's getting mad at me. Okay.
I don't count on that.
But I guess, but I'm really not telling you to believe it. I'm telling you, get rid of your preconceptions if you're not aware of all these things, and be aware that they're happening. And you know what? You can't stop them at the level they're at, because those guys are way too powerful, and if you become afraid of it, that's no good. That gives them power. You actually have to go inside yourself and stand up and become bigger than all this negative stuff, bigger than it in your consciousness. And then there's energies that you can help bring in that could make a difference, okay? It's up to you. I don't want to be a spokesperson for this stuff, because there's enough people out there that are doing a far better job than I would do, and it would distract from bringing in the Elohim and the Ra group and all that stuff. And so, but since today is an open mic, I'm putting my foot in my mouth, okay? And I'm not saying to believe it. I'm just saying, just do your own due diligence with an open mind, if you haven't done so yet, because it is amazing. And there was something else I was going to say.
About the Zika virus?
No, I didn't read about that. I mean, at this point, I just know it's happening. I know that I myself personally am sure that there's a huge negative agenda. It's been going on for years and years and years. That it blows my mind when I start looking at it, and how I myself was in the middle of that programming, or being programmed. Sure. and probably many of you, everything from the Beatles to the New Age movement has tinges of what you could, the word they use is social engineering.
Right.
Social, or another way of saying it is trend control. Controlling the trends that people believe in, okay, or they get passionate about. And almost everything that becomes popular, even things that seem positive, ends up getting pulled into this web, like the Occupy movement, okay? And the way they do it is they just start going into it and start giving money, and before you know it, they're controlling it, okay? And it loses its, how would you say, its passion, okay? You know, An interesting thing, you know, I come up with weird searches sometimes just to see what comes up. I'm always amazed what I find. Because, now check this out. There was some information on the web that Bob Dylan didn't write his own songs, and he was a plagiarist. And no one less than Joni Mitchell said that publicly, and she didn't get sued. And Joni Mitchell was Leonard Cohen's girlfriend for a while, okay? And the premise was that Leonard Cohen was writing Bob Dylan songs. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't have a lot of information to prove that, other than Joni Mitchell, who I do respect, saying that Bob Dylan was a plagiarist and that she was Leonard Cohen's girlfriend. And somebody put all the pieces together, took some of the songs apart, and was trying to show how the lyrics were in line with the way Leonard Cohen would write. Anyone not know who Leonard Cohen is?
I don't.
Leonard Cohen, probably his most famous song was Suzanne Takes You Down. Da, 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 da. And he's a very somber guy. And very serious. And in recent times, he became, a Buddhist. He's withdrawn from the world. I think so. I think it was Buddhism. You know, it was?
Yeah.
And he's wearing very austere clothes, and it's like... So I did a search. I did Leonard Cohen, CIA, right? And I didn't think I would come up with anything, but lo and behold, I did. Okay, and when Leonard Cohen was in college, before he wrote songs, he volunteered to make $20 a day doing experiments for someone who was doing torture experiments, okay? And sensory deprivation experiments. And it's definitely true because I had a picture of him all bound up with his eyes covered, right? And,
Thank you, Don.
Pardon me? And then there's a woman that knew him. She was a writer. And she was talking about all these weird goings on in his apartment. And she lived next door to him, okay? And strange people. Look it up. Look up Leonard Cohen, CIA, and you'll find it. Okay, you'll find that woman. And it just kind of blew my mind, you know? Keep in mind, I've been a singer-songwriter. These are people that I loved, that I was inspired by, that I looked up to. And Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and the Beatles, okay? The Beatles were one of the worst. Look them up, okay? And hey, if you haven't...
Hey, Wynn?
Yeah.
Bob Dylan did an interview on 60 Minutes, and he admitted, and he says it point blank, that he sold his soul to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And he states it right on a 60 Minutes. You can look it up. Ed,
mm-hmm.
That Afro-American guy, Ed something, that died.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's about that was some of the stuff when we got cut off the other day. I was going to share with you about some things, but yeah, mm-hmm. anybody that gets to that place has to be part of something, not of their own creativity.
You look at Katy Perry. How many of you know who Katy Perry is?
Well, sure.
Katy Perry,
the Super Bowl girl.
How many of you have seen her video called Dark Horse?
No.
This has got one of incredibly catchy songs, okay? And the video starts out with Katy Perry with something she's holding up to one of her eyes, which on a wand with a symbol on the end of it, covering her eye. And the symbol is the pyramid, the all-seeing eye, which is one of the symbols that they use over and over again. And the video is set up in an Egyptian environment, Egyptian, and she's like being a goddess. And kind of telling all these men, basically, that if you get involved with me and you screw me, you're going to get in trouble. And at the end of the video, during the video, she makes the Illuminati hand sign more than once. She's wearing a piece of fabric or a shirt or a hat, I can't remember, full of all-seeing eyes. And that video has 1.5 billion hits. 1.5 billion. It's the third watched video on YouTube. Think of what's the population of the world? 6 or 7 billion, right?
Seven. 3 billion.
So look at how many people are totally engrossed. And you know what? It's easy to get engrossed because it's a guilty pleasure. She is so cute and so sexy, and the song is extremely catchy. And at the end of the song, there's one of the guys that apparently jilted her or didn't treat her right in the right way is there looking like half man, half animal, you know? And bowing down to her, okay? And, you know, at first I asked myself, why are they bothering to do this? Why do they bother to do it? And what's the end result that they want to get? Well, anyone know?
Energy.
I've heard that they sort of have to tell people what they're going to do. Some people say they support that theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be they just want to scare people or brainwash people. It could be a number of
mm-hmm.
ideas.
Well, when I've watched it over time, and this is not just my idea. I've read this, and it fits. It's... they are wanting to take over the planet. And part of taking over the planet is breaking down society, okay? And part of breaking down society is breaking down the relationships between men and women. Because when people are in strong families, relationships, they're more empowered. They have something to protect. when everyone is just going, ga, 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 where's the dope? Where's the marijuana? Ooh, let's go to the club. Let's have sex. It's like people are always searching, always trying to fulfill themselves. They always feel up and down. They don't have an ongoing maintenance for their energy system, which a family provides. That's why part of what we're doing is we're creating a family, and in its own way, it gives, I believe, it gives people that take advantage of that the opportunity to feel connected. You know, in one of the sessions we did with the Elohim, and we were talking about where you go when you die, they say you go to where you're connected. And I can see that's true. I mean, even when the people that we talk to who are on the other side, they're always hanging out with their wife or their children or something, okay? And that's where they're connected. I have the idea that if we make the energetic connections to the Ra group and the Elohim group, those are connections. They're real connections. They're vibratory connections. That when you die, that connection can still be available to you, and it gives you a lot of protection from possible negative outcomes when you're on the other side. But when you start looking at the idea of breaking down the family unit, you'll find things like bringing drugs in. And, you know, LSD came in through the CIA. That is not speculation, not fact. And then I was in Berkeley at the time that was all happening. And there were all these dances at the Fillmore, psychedelic dances. And people were handing out LSD. Thousands and thousands of doses. Where were people getting the money to hand this out? Well, I used to think that maybe LSD was good for you, and there were people that believed they were going to change the world by handing it out. And maybe they did believe that. Maybe they somehow got that idea. Timothy Leary certainly believed that. But Timothy Leary had this huge house in Millbrook, New York. And where did he get the money for it? You know, things like, as I kept doing research on this stuff, I was finding things like the Kinsey Report. The Kinsey Report? You remember the Kinsey Report? It was supposedly a scientific study on the sex patterns of American people. Like how many men were having affairs, how many multiple partners. And it got a lot of publicity at the time. And yet there were lots of indications that Kinsey, who was the researcher behind it, was very compromised. And the whole thing was funded and probably tweaked to kind of giving the idea that free sex is good. And that was all part of the hippie agenda, free love. Okay, I lived through that, so I know it. And the Beatles, look up the Beatles, because, and this was a hard one for me to take, but You know, there was a tape of George when he died. Now, people will say, well, how do you know that was George? Well, it sounded like George, and maybe it wasn't George. Look it up. But he was saying they had to do what they had to do under the threat of death, and that they picked this young, charismatic band and backed them and even wrote their songs with the idea of making them into a world hit and then bringing in drug lyrics. And the Beatles were as responsible as anyone, I mean, include the Rolling Stones, in doing that. And then you find that in Laurel Canyon. How many know about all the bands that came out of Laurel Canyon? So, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. The Mamas and Papas. Spirit?
Yeah, I think they were there.
They were not a big one, though. They might not have even been that corrupted. They were kind of mild. But, the Doors. The Doors. All of these people had parents that were in the military, some of them high-level military, and some of them in secret programs. For example, Jim Morrison. Everyone know who Jim Morrison was? From the Doors?
Yeah. You know, for the Doors.
Jim Morrison's father was the guy who, if you remember, I think it was Vietnam, there was the Gulf of Tonkin incident. You remember that?
Yes.
That was an incident where I believe a boat was attacked, supposedly, by the Vietnamese. And the guy who was the captain of that boat was Jim Morrison's father. And there's many people that make the indication that that was also a false flag. It was designed to look like we were attacked so that we had an excuse to enter that war. That's what I recall. I'm not an expert on this.
I've heard
well,
that.
His father's still alive. He's a high-ranking rear admiral.
Is he? Okay. And
pretty well accepted that the Gulf of Tonkin event didn't even happen.
Yeah. And so there was an underground base in Laurel Canyon, and it was a movie production base that was using the actors in Hollywood to create propaganda films and probably had some impact in all this music stuff. And somehow Charles Manson was involved in all of it. And and then, you know, Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen, and it's like all these famous people. Jackson Brown, who was one of my idols at the time, and still love his songs. Anybody remember Phil Oakes?
Yeah.
He was a fairly in the early days when there was folk music, he was like one of the top of the protesters in music. He wrote songs like "I Ain't a Marching Anymore," and anti-war songs. And I kind of was influenced by him when I was younger. And there was a huge amount of evidence on the internet that Phil Oakes was an agent for the CIA. And go look it up. If you happen to have been influenced by him, you'll find it. Just look up Phil Oakes CIA and see what comes up. And this can't be all conspiracy. Why are people writing this stuff? I mean, what do they have to gain? They're not selling anything. They're not making books. People uncover things, and they feel a passion to put it out. And I don't want to talk about this. This is an open mic. Isn't there anyone have a poem?
I have something to say.
You know, it's so synchronistic because I have been thinking of the exact same things for the last 2 weeks. And I've come to the conclusion that if everything is socially engineered, and if we just start with the fact that everything has been infiltrated, including the Bible.
Wait a second, somebody's making noise. Raiden, are you making noise, man?
No, I'm here in complete quiet. Would you like me to mute my phone? Here I go.
I don't know. No, it may not be you. Hang on a second here. Okay, I just got on the control panel here. So if I see whoever, I can actually see who makes noise. So, hang on. Okay. Who was the person who was just talking about the last 2 weeks? What's your name?
It's Prudence.
Prudence, okay.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, what I was saying is if you start with the assumption that everything's been infiltrated, and this has been going on and planned for hundreds of years. I've been doing a lot of research. And it goes back, and including the Bible, you know, being hijacked at the Council of Nicaea. And this came up because I have some really nice Christian friends, and they're good people. And they don't even realize that through their prayers and the things that they do, they're actually giving energy to the wrong side. And they're completely in the dark. So I've been doing a lot of research, and it just all dovetails with the social engineering, the television commercials, the music industry. I just want to say that it's out there, and we just assume that it's infiltrated, and you won't be disappointed. And the best thing to do, in my opinion, is to, in your prayers when you go within, is to assume or picture that everything is fixed. There is peace. There is good things. And this way we engage the field to reflect back to us, you know. So if we engage the field as it was, I'll shut up.
No. Go ahead. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. You know, instead of saying, well, we pray for peace, you know, assume there is peace. See it that way. And project that out there. And the field, if we get enough doing that, and the field will reflect back to us, and maybe we'll make a really profound difference. So these are the things I'm sharing with my Christian friends. And I'm actually putting together like a little lesson plan to take them through gently so they don't go through a dark night of the soul. That's all.
You know, something to check out is do a search on the Bible and reincarnation, okay? Because people have gone through the New Testament and the Old Testament, and reincarnation was a fairly popular belief at the time of Jesus. And there are a lot of indications that Jesus knew all about reincarnation. And I think probably the most blatant thing in the Bible is where he looked at John the Baptist and said, "You once were Elijah, and now you're John." And I think that, you know, Jesus got co-opted after he left the realm. And the Council of Nicaea tried to rewrite the Bible. But Jesus was very clever because he knew that what happened, I believe. He knew it. He knew the negative was going to attempt to use him. And that's why he had his disciples and him walk around city to city and just be humble kind of vagabonds. Holy Vagabonds. That's a good name for a band. Holy Vagabonds. Okay. but you know, one of the things that from Terry Friedman is that he did not really study all the material of mine. He didn't study the raw material. He didn't get into the Elohim material, but he did know that I had a place of unconditional love for him. He recognized that. And I would ask him questions. And when he answered questions about Jesus, it totally aligned with everything that I was learning. For example, he would say that Jesus told his disciples when they were going around city to city, don't tell people that I'm the Messiah. And he said it over and over again. He did not want to be elevated, okay? And when he knew he was going to leave the realm, he told his disciples, don't start a religion over this. Go two by two and minister to people in the cities. And there were a number of things there. For example, Judas. In the raw material, it was indicated that Judas was really not betraying Jesus. That Judas had to do that. In fact, Jesus, I don't want to get this wrong, but as I recall, that Jesus actually was complicit with Judas in turning him in. And Jesus knew he had to get turned in. And
I believe that.
And that when I asked Terry Friedman about Judas, he said exactly the same thing. And you know, he didn't know anything about this other material. So I've cross-referenced Jesus, you know, all kinds of different ways. And I am pretty confident. I put it out, one of our calls probably a couple of years ago, some of you were on it, was kind of spellbounding because I put together the idea that Jesus was originally under the auspices of the Anunnaki, and it was the Anunnaki who wanted to create a Messiah to control the world. And in Jesus's early years, he was being subsidized by his rich uncle. And he went to India and traveled around the world. And according to the Mormons, he went to America and hobnobbed with the Indians. And then at a certain point, Jesus dumped that project, got 12 ordinary people, and started going city to city and doing his real ministry. And he got them all to document what was happening so that it would become, it would get stuck in whatever the negative was doing to screw it up. And because there's a huge amount of truth in the Bible, huge. And I remember I read that when I was younger, and I said, I'm only going to believe what I can validate inside myself to be true. And many of his parables or his wise sayings were very, very resonant with me. For example, like, judge not, lest ye shall be judged. Now, I understand that. I understand it. It's not like you're going to be punished. When you judge, you're judging yourself, because everyone is you. So you are judging yourself. And judgment is one of the things that keeps us paralyzed in this realm. Or these things I do, you can do, and much more. Well, that's an amazing one. For a guy that's supposed to be a Messiah and God's son saying, you can do what I do. In a sense, he must be saying that we're all Messiahs, so we're all have equal potential in that realm if we can reach it. And there were more. I mean, it was loaded with wise things. And then you come up with Peter, where Peter gets a revelation, not from Jesus, but he gets a revelation on this, on this rock, I build my church. And that would fit in with the negative that wanted to create Jesus as a control mechanism. create fear to say, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. And to create guilt and to create the idea of sinners so that people would be compromised or contracted by the church. So that's my take.
Well, what do you mean by subsidized? His uncle subsidized him. I don't agree with you there. You lost me there.
Well, as far as I know, is Joseph of Arimathea gave Jesus a lot of money. I think that's pretty commonly known. Now, it could be, I could be doing the wrong take on it, and it could be that Joseph of Arimathea just totally believed in Jesus and was doing what he thought was good.
Okay, let me tell you my take, okay? From what I read, and I read his book, my take is this, that Joseph of Arimathea was his uncle, and Jesus came here. He was already advanced by everybody, from everybody else, but he needed to practice all that. He needed to learn. So he took him to all these different places, and pretty much he educated himself, and when he was ready, he came and did what he did. I don't agree with you about Joseph Arimathea was working with the negative. I think he was helping him get the education he needed to make it permanent and perfect what he already had the abilities to perfect it, so he'll be able to go outside and do it right. That's my take. That's my understanding.
That's possible, and not only that, what I said, I don't think I have substantiation for, okay?
Think about it. Why he would take him to his different places, and he spent time learning in Egypt, in India, here, there. Why? I mean, he took him for that reason, to educate himself and see the different cultures and perfect himself, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dr. Freeman backed up Dimitri's position.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know something else, Wynn? I'll tell you something maybe you didn't know because you're not on the Saturday calls. He told us at some point that his father, Joseph, and his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, it was the same soul, broken in two pieces. It's the same soul broken in two pieces.
Whose father?
His father, Joseph, Mary's husband, his mother's husband, and Joseph of Arimathea, his uncle, were basically a split soul. Was the same soul split in two different people, and they both were there to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You know what? I take the position, Dimitri, that there's a lot of things that I don't know what's true and what's not true. And it's like if Terry said something, I wouldn't immediately assume it was true. And I wouldn't assume it was not true.
Sure.
I'd have to just keep contemplating it.
Heart and then you'll know the answer.
Yeah. Well, the Elohim says things. I test them out over a long period of time.
Right.
So the thing about it is, okay, you know, in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, we're going to have to end, there was one of the most amazing things that came through Wilcock. Mm-hmm. And the Ra group said, and this really had a profound influence on my investigation, okay? Mm-hmm. The Ra group said, we came to you in our religion, namely Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms much anymore because of the way that religion screwed it up.
Right.
That's pretty close to it, okay?
Right.
Now we have the idea, if that's true, and I can't prove that that's true, but I did more research along the lines on convincing myself that maybe that was true. And I don't have time to go into my research. We have to get off the call in just a minute. But if that's true, and the Ra group is the proponent for the law of one, okay? My take is the Ra group would not bring in a teacher or a spiritual influencer that was going to be a messiah, okay? Because the idea of a messiah means giving up your power to this person who is a connection to the Father, right? And that Jesus didn't want to be a messiah. Where did this idea of messiah come from? Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament over and over again.
Right.
And anyone who does the study, God in the Old Testament was not God in the highest sense. God in the Old Testament was very likely, very, various Anunnaki people, okay? And they were the ones that put the prophecies of Jesus together.
I agree with you. The thing is, I don't see Jesus as a Messiah. What I see him is someone who came here, perfected himself, and he came here to spill the beans and educate the rest of the world of what's going on, who they are. And of course, they didn't like that, and they ended up killing him because he was spilling the beans. That's the way I see it.